The following recording is copyright 2013, Diocese of Little Rock, all rights reserved. For more information, visit www.dolr.org.
Rick, during the last week and a half, you've been at the ordination of your brothers Juan Guido and Robert Saganaro. We're having a trifecta of ordinations. You heard them remind them of the cost of faithful discipleship. Jesus calls us to live lives of humble service and self-sacrificing love, with special concern for the poorest, weakest, and most troubled among us. Jesus makes this point especially clear when he says, "This is my commandment, love one another as I have loved you," which was, of course, loving us completely, loving us totally to the death. And that's how we're to love one another, and especially those of us whom the Lord has ordained to live our lives for the benefit of others. Therefore, I think it is especially appropriate that the gospel you chose for your ordination is the same gospel we read each year on Divine Mercy Sunday. Your path to the diaconate and soon the priesthood has been arduous, with twists and turns and adversities that would have caused a lesser man to give up. But you didn't, in part because you knew that you yourself have been a recipient of divine mercy, and therefore are obligated to do all in your power to bring that same divine mercy to others. As a deacon, you will do that sacramentally for those you baptize and bring communion, and pastorally through prayer, teaching, preaching, and the corporal and spiritual works of mercy. One day as a priest, you will also be a minister of God's mercy in the sacraments of reconciliation and anointing of the sick. And you will continue to be an ambassador of hope and healing, the ambassador that you already are and have been for many years. Why were the disciples in the gospel you chose hiding in that room behind closed doors? Because they were afraid. Afraid that they would be arrested and that they would be crucified too. Afraid to take up their cross and follow Jesus. So the first sentence out of Jesus' mouth was, "Peace be with you," meaning, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of me, no matter how bad you did me on Good Friday. And don't be afraid of my adversaries, because I have broken the power of sin and death. That was Jesus' message. And then he said, "As the Father has sent me, so I now send you." This sending of the disciples by Jesus parallels the sending of Jesus himself by the Father, by God the Father, whom, as we see throughout John's gospel, Jesus loved completely and obeyed perfectly. So it follows that we are fit messengers of Jesus and fit instruments of divine mercy only when we love Jesus completely and obey him perfectly. We fail when we preach our own message and do our own will rather than that of Jesus, who has sent us forth and whose servants we are. In the gospel, Jesus has set an example that just as he has done, you also must do. As a minister of Jesus Christ, who came upon among the disciples as one who serves, do the will of God from your heart. Serve the people in love and joy as you would the Lord. And since no one can serve two masters, look upon everything else, whether obviously sinful or not, as serving false gods. Your commitment to celibacy frees you to serve the Lord and those entrusted to your care more easily, with an undivided heart. As such, your celibate chastity, when lived with sincere and total dedication, will be a powerful source of spiritual fruitfulness, not only for others, but also for yourself in your own life. So never allow yourself to be turned away from the hope offered by the gospel, of which you are now to become not only a hearer to your own benefit, but also a minister for the benefit of others. Rick, today Jesus sends you forth to serve the people of God with the same love as he who came not to be served, but to serve and give his life in ransom for the many. First as a deacon, and then, God willing, very soon, as a priest.